today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland and presidential historian Doug Weed share a special message calling all believers to stand united.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I want to tell you something. We're going to have a good time this week. Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's word from God. Father, we just thank you and praise you with all of our hearts. We open ourselves. We come to you, Lord Jesus. It's you that matters. It is you that we want to see and know and understand more and more and more about your kind of life, your way of living, your style, the way you do things. And we thank you and we receive you today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to join me today in welcoming a man that I have known for many, many years, and I am so excited about him being on this broadcast, Brother Doug Weed. Doug, God bless you, sir.
I bless you, Ken.
I really, to me, this is such a thrill to have you on the broadcast, to get the opportunity to really dig some stuff out of you, because you know a lot of things, man, that I just love to hear. This man is not only a best-selling author. He's written over 27 books. He is a historian with a very, not just interesting, but special background. The ingredients of his life have particularly prepared him to be anointed by God in an area that we as the body of Christ need desperately, and the world needs desperately, because this man was raised in a Christian home as a young man. He's just like me when I was a little boy. I had a drug problem. My mother drugged me to church every time they opened my door or wherever else, whatever was happening. And Doug's dad and mama drugged him all over the country and all That's over right. the world and every place else, because they were in the ministry, full gospel, Holy Ghost people that really were pioneers in what we now know as the charismatic movement. And when God started moving in that great healing revival back there after World War II, and your dad was right, I mean, he was right in there, man. And so all of this background, but then as a historian, and he's been able to open the eyes not only of us, but the world, in what was actually happening in the lives of presidents and their children and their families and all of this, from a biblical viewpoint, and be able to see God's hand in things that the world's never seen and that we need to know. Now, let's get down to today. From the book of Titus, in the second chapter, the Apostle Paul is writing to this young preacher, and he says, "Speak, you speak the things which become sound doctrine." Down here in this 6th and 7th and 8th verses, Gloria and I believed this, and we stood on it 41 years ago when we went into this ministry, along with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he talked about not using the word deceitfully and dishonestly and so forth. Be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works in doctrine, uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. Well, sound speech is speech that comes off the Word of God. That's the only sound, really sound foundation there is God's Word, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part, or he that rises up with bad things to say about you, your doctrine, what you preach, why you preach it, what you did with your finances, where you are. See, you should have a pattern of good works. And somebody starts talking about you, you should have a pattern to show for what you've been doing. Then he says, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, as most of you know, particularly our partners know, and when members of the United States Senate began what became known as an investigation into six churches that all preach the same thing, that all have what is known as the same doctrine. We're all Pentecostal folks. We're all charismatic folks. We're all TV folks. And we all preach and live the just about the same way, that God wants you to prosper spiritually. He wants you to prosper mentally. He wants you to prosper physically. He wants you to prosper financially. And he wants you to prosper in your social life, your family. Everything that touches human life is supposed to be better because Jesus went to the cross. Hmm. Now, instead of just coming and requesting information from us, when we found out that they wanted information from us was when the news media called us and asked us about it. We hadn't even heard of it yet. He announced and was having press conferences before we found out somebody wanted something. We got it on a fax machine, and they put it in the form of a number of questions, questioning our integrity, questioning information, and so forth, that they had received from somebody that literally hates all six of us in these churches and so forth. Well, you know, and you can imagine what a shock this was to us. All of a sudden, it's like somebody setting fire to your lawn, and you run outside and say, "What is this?" And the guy said, "Well, I just wanted to talk to you." "Well, why don't you just knock on the door, dummy? What do you want to set my yard on fire for?" I mean, it was that kind of approach. So In the first moments of it, you know, "Ben, there's something wrong with this." So I know that from your being advisors to President Bush Sr., been on White House staff, you've been involved. You know how that thing operates up there. On the other hand, you know how we operate down here. And here you are. You have insight into what's happening there, what the devil's trying to do, what men are trying to do. And in a chapel service here just a few days ago, you brought up some things that were such eye-openers to us and to this ministry and so forth, that's when I said, "Look, you got to come on the broadcast, because I want you to bring insight into these things, because it's not just us. If you're born again, child of God, baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues and believing, healing, and standing on the Word of God, Satan is going to try his best to persecute you for the Word's sake." Jesus said that. Right. So, now, I would appreciate it very much, Mr. Weed, if you would take us over into this and give us benefit of your 40-plus years, longer than that, because you've been seeing this kind of thing since you were old enough to walk and talk. You saw your dad and all the pioneers of that were before my generation, my heroes, man, the guys that I came into this thing thinking, "Dear God, if you could ever have a quarter of that kind of an anointing, what would this be like?" And your dad was right in the thick of all of that, and so were you. So you've seen all this, like I said, but now you have insight into the thinking and to the move of the Spirit concerning this. So open these doors and the doors of our understanding, so we have more knowledge in how to conduct ourselves and how to know what to do in times like this, whether you're in a national ministry like ours or whether you're in a Sunday school class that's, or whatever it is.
I think there's no question these scriptures you gave, you're on the right track, because Jesus was conscious of public opinion. He said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" He knew who he was, but
he knew.
And then he also wanted to know, who do you? So he wanted to know the people who loved him and who were with him. Who do they think he was? He wanted to know where he was with them. But he also wanted to know, who do men say that I am? So you brought up this verse. There's also Romans 14 where the word says, don't let your good be spoken of as evil. So we do have a responsibility, people who are watching right now who have their own issues and their own problems in life and arguments with relatives and cousins and friends, and there's misunderstandings, and you have to go through what Reverend Copeland is going through right now and humble yourself and give an explanation, give an answer. What I shared with your staff was three things. We may not have time on this broadcast to get into all of them, but the first thing I shared is these are not Kenneth Copeland's doctrines that are under attack right now. These are not Joyce Meyer's doctrines that are under attack right now. They're in the Bible. They were the predominant interpretation of Scripture for 500 years. We talked about from Constantine to St. Francis, this is how the church interpreted. Now, the big difference between the church then and what your ministries are doing is you're bringing it to the people. And for 500 years, the church practiced these principles. When Queen Elizabeth wanted money, she raided the monasteries because that's where the wealth was. It was in the church. And all of her predecessors, they raided the monasteries. That's where the money was. And it was not just west. It was east. I just came back from Kiev, and they celebrate there's a great tourist attraction there, and it's a door made out of solid gold. And they pride themselves, the Ukrainians, on the fact that when the Mongols invaded, they stripped all of these Orthodox churches and cathedrals of all the gold, but they couldn't get this door. It was too big, and their horses, they couldn't haul it off. But this was the predominant thinking, and not just in the Middle Ages, but again, this resurfaced in the United States in the so-called Gilded Age prior to the Great Depression of 1870. And a lot of the famous capitalists in America, Cornelius Vanderbilt and others that you read about, Andrew Carnegie later, they all subscribed, ironically, to a Baptist preacher, one in Boston, one in New York, one in Albany, who preached these same doctrines, published books about them, that really it's redemption. Jesus died for your sins, but he took care of your health, your marriage. He's on your side. He's not against you. He wants you to have a good career.
A great number of those men were tithers.
They were tithers, and Andrew Carnegie sponsored Napoleon Hill. He started writing motivational books, and today you'll see people who will get involved in reading motivational books, and if they have a Christian background, they'll say, well, this stuff is just the scripture with the scripture pulled out of it, and it was. Yeah. So they're seeing something that's there. So the point is, these doctrines were not contrived to as a tax dodge. This is not a game going on. These are true beliefs. Kenneth Copeland preached this when he was poor, and he preached it when he's rich, and you could take all his money away from him and throw him in jail, and he'd still preach it. It's because he believes it. And the government should not interfere, in my opinion, people who believe this. Now, if it wants to examine doctrine and their impact on society, it needs to do the whole thing. We could talk about grace and the impact it can have carried to an extreme, moving a pedophile priest here and there. And we could talk about the virtue of poverty as it's taught from the pulpit, the impact it's had. For the second point I made to your staff was that these doctrines have had a positive impact on society. Now, television, when they attack you, the secular television, they'll bring anecdotal evidence. They'll have some couple come in and say, well, we were taught tithing, and we tithed to our local church, and we lost our house.
Yeah, they did.
Or they'll have, say, we prayed for our dying mother, and she died of cancer. And you can have anecdotal evidence that can prove anything. You could have anecdotal evidence to say that American Idol is not a popular TV show and have somebody say, I've never heard of it, never watched it. But that still can't change the Nielsen ratings that show American Idol is the number one show. And these six ministries that are under attack are popular for a reason. You can have all the anecdotal evidence you want, but if your message doesn't work, you wouldn't be one of the major television ministries in this country. The reason you are is because it resonates. There are people out there with their Bibles who are studying every verse. Every time you give a verse, there are people there who double-check that. And if your message resonates and impacts their life and changes their life, then they support you. And those are two of the issues I raised. There were a couple others that were equally important. But I closed when I was speaking with your staff and said, if you have any friends who are irritated or nervous or upset about where Kenneth Copeland lives in Texas, they're really going to be upset and nervous when they see where he lives in heaven. And there's a lot of misinformation in the media. For example, I didn't know that that's not your house, that that belongs to the ministry and that that's a parsonage. I didn't know that. There's a lot of people who watched on television when they said, well, here's where they live and here's their house. But it's not your house. It belongs to your ministry. There's a lot of misconceptions. I hope this week we have a chance to get into them and answer every single one of them.
The way they spun those questions and so forth, and the information that they had received from an outside source that was that, you know, we just take money out of here any way we want to, that, and all of that, which is the furthest thing in the world from the truth. We can't take money out of this thing at all.
Yeah,
none of it belongs to us. None of the property, the airplanes, all of that, it doesn't belong to Glory and Me. And there is a legal board of directors. For instance, one of the members of our board that was on the compensation committee that takes outside consultant companies' input and determine what Glory and I should be paid, and the other people in the ministry also, we took him off of that compensation committee because he's our pastor and we had given him offerings. Mm. So we had to take him off of that committee because of the possibility that our offering giving to him personally, Glory and mine, giving our pastor something, could influence him to cause our salary to be a little better or something. It is that closely scrutinized. Well, I can't call somebody and get them to give me more money.
I hope we'll have time. I know we'll have time this week in subsequent broadcasts to get into why privacy, why a church wants privacy constitutionally.
Most people don't understand that.
I don't think they
do.
Like, for example, one of the questions they asked you is they wanted to know the name of everybody who's ever stood in your pulpit.
Yeah.
And this can be chilling for doctrine for you. You could have in a member of the Billy Graham ministry to minister in your pulpit out of love because of some common issue, and this hurt this guy's ministry because he has a different doctrine. He has a different board to answer to, different, and hurt your own
they
because
also
you have a different
to know
doctrine.
What kind of an offering we gave them? Did we give an offering? Did we give an honorarium? And did we pay their expenses? And how much? All of that. That's information that is not.
Well, and there's a reason. The main reason that the Constitution protects the media from you wandering in there and looking through their drawers. What do the media have to hide? What do you have to hide? What keeps you out of the television networks as a citizen, or keeps you out of the senator's office? What does the senator have to hide? Why can't you go in there and rifle through his files? And the same protection that you have as a minister, so you don't have to report to some senator who decides he wants to know everything about your ministry. The Constitution was set up because throughout history, men have seized power and used that power to persecute people of other political persuasions or other religious persuasions. And it happened all the time. In England, in one family, you had Mary, who persecuted the Protestants and killed them, and her sister came to power in the same family, and they persecuted Catholics and killed them. And so when the founding fathers founded and wrote this Constitution, they wanted to keep the government out of the church.
That was very close to them, wasn't it? They saw that. They were in the middle of it.
They knew that power in the hands of one very fervent religious person attacking another. And that was our concern, frankly, my concern with this inquiry from what I experienced in Washington. I've interviewed 10 presidents of the United States and first ladies in 6 different presidencies represented. And I have seen power at work, and it can be an awesome and a terrible thing. If the government fixes on someone and makes up their mind, they can be very destructive. And that's why your ministry has said we'll answer every single question he asks, and we'll give it all to the IRS, which is the legal way of doing it, rather than to a senator of an opposing faith, a faith when I was a little boy they called us demon-possessed. Mm-hmm. Baptists called Pentecostals demon-possessed, rather than answering to someone of a different religion who has said in his correspondence, or his staff has said, we want this public. And there's reasons for a senator to have his own work private. There's reasons for a journalist, and there's reasons for a church at times.
In this closing second here, and just so you know, because a lot of people don't, for us as a ministry to say, well, you know, I know the Constitution protects us from having to do that, but we need to just be transparent and turn all this in. If we turn loose of our protections, then it can be published in any way, in any form, under any kind of spin they want to publish it. And ain't a thing in the world we can say about it. So that sets a precedence then, and then who's next? I mean, who else is this going to happen? We're out of time. We'll take it up here tomorrow when we come back. My goodness, I can hardly wait. And Brother Doug and I will be back in just a moment.
The partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries have enabled the television broadcast, The Believer's Voice of Victory, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus into the homes of millions. The broadcast first went on the air in 1979 and now has the potential to reach more than 633 million people in one day. In 2006, KCM produced over 2,600 programs so that people around the world can hear and grasp the truth that Jesus is Lord.
Now let me tell you what compassion did. He did everything it took except praying the prayer.
He couldn't receive it for you. You got to receive it. We've got to receive
it. He left it to you.
We take it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's the reason it looks too easy.
It's all
Jesus,
been done.
Come into my heart. I believe you've been raised from the dead.
Amen.
I repent of sin. I repent of the past. Fill me with your spirit. Thank you very much, sir. I pray it in your name.
Receive. Just receive.
When faith gets stirred up on the inside of you, that's the way it is for healing. That's the way it is for all of it. That's the reason it produces thanksgiving beyond anything we can possibly know.
If I never met Ken or Gloria, they've done enough. You know, what the stuff that we've gotten from them has it's more than a handshake can ever, or it's just, I've gotten an anointing. And I talk about that to the church. But the same blessing that's on this church is going to go into your house. And the same blessing that's on Kenneth and Gloria is coming to our church. We tithe and we give offering from our church and then our personal to Kenneth and Gloria. And then we encourage our members to partner with them. This is good ground. It's just really good ground. And that anointing that's on them is transferred.
People are demanding to know. They want to know, how do I get out of this trouble? How do I get out of this mess? How do I walk with God? Not everybody's in trouble. They just want to know more about walking with God. Walking with God's about a lot more than just getting out of trouble. And so everywhere I go to this day, and I've been doing this a long time, and now my children are dealing with it, to say, it still takes my breath when people say to me, my life wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the message that they brought to me.
The Lessons from History package includes 2 dynamic books by presidential historian and New York Times best-selling author Doug Weed. All the President's Children and the Raising of Presidents will help shed light on the challenges and victories of American presidents and their first families. launch into a historical adventure, and learn how leaders are not only born, but made. Order the Lessons from History package for a special price of $25. Visit kcm.org and order your package online, or you may call toll-free 800-575-4455. If you prefer to write, the address is Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. All the President's Children and the Raising of a President by Doug Weed. Order the Lessons from History package today.
Now, while we were talking there a few moments ago, I mentioned the chapel service where Brother Doug spoke to us, and it was just dynamite, I'm telling you. So we decided to do this. I want to send you a DVD of that service in its the whole thing, which also included our chief of counsel. He had a few words to say there, it is a powerful thing. And I want to send it to you free in postpaid. Just let us know you want it. And that's to anybody that wants it. Use the information that's on your screen and get it. Now, the Lessons from History package. You ain't getting these two. He ain't going home with them either. These are mine. All of the President's Children. Then the Raising of a President, these insights into the children of past presidents and what happened in their lives and so forth. I'm telling you, this is really eye-opening information. So use the information that's on your screen to order these books. He's got the third one coming up, I can hardly wait. He's right in the process of it. Right now, you really do need to get your hands on this. It's good. Praise God. Now then, if you've got concerns or you just desire to be updated about the subjects that we're talking about here and other related subjects and the insights into this, go to Doug Weed's blog, dougweed.wordpress.com. And a lot of powerful things that Brother Weed shares on that you need to be reading, you need to be responding to. I mean, get in there and fire the questions in and do all of these things. This is all part of what's going on around us right now. And we're all a part of it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Kenneth Copeland, Doug Reed, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of this week's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org. Remember to request your free DVD of Believers Stand United and receive timely information that answers questions about current events. Go to kcm.org or call toll-free 888-326-0011.